Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Nearly 90% of South Dakota farmers are facing the impacts of this season's bad weather. Kevin McNew is chief economist at the Farmers Business Network. He joins us now for a look at the historic season and how it stands to influence yields. Kevin, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Lori. Glad to be here. I'm in western Kansas, traveling across this great country, talking to farmers at this challenging time. You're exactly right. This is an epic problem across a wide swath of the Corn Belt.
So when so many of us make our summer road trips, we are looking for sort of the beauty and what's happening outside the window. And as you drive along, you see a little bit of a different view, don't you?
Absolutely. Well, you know, here in western Kansas, I can tell you the wheat looks amazing, which is going to lead to massive yields, but pretty bad protein. But I think the real story this growing season is just the epic amount of rain that has fallen during the planting season and just how disastrous it's been, the worst planting pace in 40 years of data from USDA, and what a struggle that's been for farmers across the country in these trying times with trade wars and tariffs that are limiting demand.
Tell us a little bit about the Farmers Business Network, if you will, before we get into some of the data.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're a group of over 8,000 farmers across the U.S. and Canada with our goal of providing data and insights to them to help them make better farming decisions. You know, farming is a tough business, and the more data, the more information that our 8,000 members share and collaborate with, and our data science team produces analytics that make them better decisions in the marketplace. And then, you know, on top of that, we also have a seed business, chemical business that farmers can transact with. So, you know, my job is kind of working with farmers and trying to disentangle complex markets.
Tell us a little bit about how you gather that information. And specifically, I'm wondering, what role does conversations with farmers and surveys and things like that play into the other weather reports and USDA data that you might also be analyzing?
Right. Yeah, we're very fortunate that, you know, we have a really good pulse of our 8,000 farmers and what they're doing, whether it's from agronomic decisions, whether it's from business decisions. And I can tell you this growing season was particularly insightful around where we could see very big struggles with planting. So USDA has state-level data, which is insightful on its own, but we could see very detailed data, for example, in your area in eastern South Dakota, just how slow the planting pace was going there. And another key state like Illinois, we saw central Illinois doing fairly well at getting the crop in the ground, but the northern and southern parts of those states were struggling mightily. And so as we look at the lineup of precipitation, you know, we could see just kind of this, epic storm coming of farmers that were struggling with planting and where the precipitation was lining up. And we've been alluding to this for several weeks now with our farmers that this was not a problem that was going to go away. We were going to end up really poorly in the growing season, not getting the crop in the ground.
Let's talk about how many South Dakota farmers are impacted by that wet weather. What do you know?
Yeah, so as we look at the latest data, you know, starting this weekend, you know, here we are on June 10th. You know, we should be well under our way in terms of planting. Usually, we think about May 21st across the country. Most of the crop is in the ground by May 21st. And here we are June 10th, and we still have, 17% of the crop not in the ground. That's a huge 15 million acre shortfall on a 93 million acre crop. So you're talking about massive amounts of corn that has not gotten planted. And the real question now becomes, what are farmers going to do? Are they going to switch to soybeans? Are they going to take prevent plant on those acres and not plant anything? You know, these are tough decisions that farmers in the heat of the moment are going to have to decide on.
How do they make those decisions, and how does that intersect with your data? So you're providing them things that you know are going to help make one of those decisions. What do they have? What tools do they have at their resource to make a choice?
Yeah, it's a tough one for sure. I mean, certainly, you know, we have a number of business units that are stepping up in this tough environment. We have a crop insurance business unit that's helping them evaluate the prevent plant decision. We have a seed business that helps them decide if it makes sense for them to go out and buy soybean seed and plant soybeans. So there's a lot of tough decisions that have to be made, and there's no prescription for every one farmer that fits the mold. You know, every farmer's unique. Every farmer's under different circumstances. So, and that's what makes this very challenging. The market as a whole is trying to grapple with it. Today, USDA just dropped their latest supply and demand data just a few minutes back, and I think the market got a little flat-footed on what they thought the impact would be. USDA trimmed their yield forecast from a 176 U.S. average down to a 166 U.S. average, just on the basis of slow planting. So I think this is a market that continues to rise and continues to price in one of the worst growing seasons we've started out with in probably 20, 30 years.
All right. So was it the rain? What's causing the problems?
Yeah, really, it's just been the parade of precipitation that has, started in Texas and Arkansas and moved its way all the way up into Illinois and the broader eastern Corn Belt. And of course, earlier in the planting season, Nebraska, South Dakota, Minnesota were in the eye of the storm, if you will. As we look at the maps today, that rain is expected to come again. So farmers got a bit of a window here in the last few days and in the next few days. But after that, the parade of precipitation fires back up and we see nothing but unrelenting rainstorms that really don't give much break. So I don't think this story's over by any means, even once the crop's in the ground. I think we're going to have struggles during this growing season with very wet weather, cooler than normal weather, which is not good for yield and development of this crop.
When the USDA adjusts the yield forecast, how is that significant? How does that sort of feed into market predictions and farmer decisions?
Yeah, so I mean, the market itself, the broader futures market, and how grain is traded in the country, sort of looks to the USDA once a month to say, what does the USDA think the supply is going to be? What do they think the demand is going to be? And so USDA puts that report out every month. Now, this report was not based on any surveys of farmers. They will do that survey in June. They'll resurvey and issue that report on acreage at the end of June. So this report was really just their economists saying, what do we think, based on slow planting and all the data that we see, what do we think is going to happen to acreage and yield? So on acreage, they did reduce acres by 3 million acres from their previous forecast. And the big surprise is really how aggressive they were in cutting yield. Again, a 10 bushel an acre drop from 176 down to 166. And so, again, the market, I think, was not expecting this big a drop. And I think we're going to see prices start to escalate in response.
Tell us a little bit. You mentioned trade and tariffs and how these all are kind of converging to be a really difficult season for farmers and producers. Do they directly connect to one another, or is it more of a, this is just adding to the difficulty sort of thing? How direct is the connection between those two challenges?
Yeah, it's kind of cumulative. They're adding pain to an already challenging environment. So, the trade war with China started last August officially, and, especially in the Northern Plains, South Dakota, North Dakota, farmers there had really adopted soybeans over the last 5 to 8 years in response to China. A lot of those beans from the Dakotas flow through the rail network into the PNW market out of Oregon and directly into China. So when that market got shut off, those farmers in the Dakotas were especially hard hit because there was no market. There was no movement of those beans. There was no other place for them to go. And so it's been unfortunate because we have not had any movement on the trade war issue. We're still stuck in this quagmire of trade, no trade with China. And so, farmers there are stuck holding a large inventory. They're having to plant crops, other than soybeans. And so it's a challenging environment.
Tell me, you said there's individual decisions and a case-by-case basis based on your operation, based on, your thought process, but are there themes for making decisions when, you've got seed and, you're trying to decide when to move forward and how favorable the conditions are going to be? What are some of the big picture things that you're looking for to make those choices?
I mean, one of the things we focus on at FBN is, looking at your profitability. So that starts with cost of production. And from there, not trying to pick the top of the market. And no one can pick the top of the market. and you have to kind of systematically sell your grain throughout the season. And so, you know, at FBN, we have a lot of different contracts, a lot of different pricing tools that farmers can use to kind of average over the course of the season, get some sort of minimum or maximum price that they can establish, you know, because the market's very unpredictable. No matter how much analytics and data we have, no one's ever going to be able to perfectly predict the market. So I like to remind farmers, you know, take the emotion out of it, have a systematic approach to marketing, and don't try to shoot for the moon. No one can predict the top of the market. So just systematically kind of, you know, move grain, sell grain over the course of the season that you're growing it and storing it.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. My guest is Kevin McNew. He's chief economist at the Farmers Business Network, and we're talking about how these historic rainfalls and precipitation are impacting the planting season and eventually the yield, of course. And Kevin, you said you were driving across western Kansas right now. Tell me what people are, you know, when you have those conversations with farmers, what are they saying? What are you hearing is on their mind?
Right. I mean, there's the usual thing about, you know, the grain markets and, you know, policies and things like that. You know, I think, you know, in western Kansas, farmers are pretty optimistic about the volume of the crop. Their wheat crop's going to look pretty good here. There's, you know, we're driving, we're trying to stop and see farmers. They're all busy trying to get their corn and milo planted here. So everyone's racing to get the crop in the ground. But I think there's a little bit more enthusiasm, a little more glimmer in the eye because the markets are showing some upside here, which we haven't seen in quite some time. So I think that's given a little bit of renewed enthusiasm because it, you know, quite frankly, until we got this rally starting about a month ago, it was looking pretty grim. So I think there's at least, especially for those guys like in western Kansas who have been able to get the crop in the ground, there's some optimism that there's better prices here.
Yeah. From the Farmers Business Network side, what other sort of data collection are you doing right now? What's the next thing that you're watching for?
You know, we'll just keep growing or keep watching throughout the season. You know, this is going to be a pivotal growing season. It's going to be very challenging. What's interesting about this growing season is that USDA, for the first time, has done away with their August survey of corn production. So as a budget cutting measure, they actually eliminated their first formal, you know, survey of corn production in August. So the market as a whole is not actually going to have any insights from USDA on the state of yield, on the size of the crop until we get to September. So at FBN, we're actually, you know, using data, we're using analytics to do in-season forecasting on yield and production. And so, you know, companies like us that are making use of remote sensing data, whether it's satellite imagery, you know, we're using data directly from our farmers. You know, I think it's going to be important to help farmers, you know, with this type of application because the government is kind of stepping back a little bit as it cuts the budgets.
Are farmers concerned about that, those budget cuts?
I'm not sure they're that aware of those
right.
kind of cuts. You know, I think they look more at the government checks they get and things like that. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think it does have an impact. And again, I think FBN's pretty well positioned to try and step in and provide unbiased, objective analytics around these key metrics.
You mentioned some of the ways to gather information, and I'm wondering how much this conversation about precision agriculture and 5G and just how is the industry changing and getting more precise with forecasts and measurements and making decisions based on knowing more and being able to access that information more quickly?
Right. I think you hit on a very key topic in agriculture. I mean, all these pieces of equipment, whether they're planters, they're sprayers, they're combines, you know, they're all generating data. You know, they're all generating data on what was planted, you know, what seed variety, when was it planted, where was it planted, you know, as it comes off the combine, how much was the yield. All this data is valuable, and the farmer is starting to recognize that. And, you know, ourselves included, as well as a lot of other companies, are trying to figure out, how do we take that data and make it useful in some sort of analytical framework that gives answers back to the farmer? And so our key tenet at FBN is, you know, providing unbiased, objective analytics that the farmer can make tangible decisions, improve their bottom line. You know, that's ultimately what we're trying to do.
And then how much of that has to do with really you know, collecting it and sharing some of that information that is in a, you know, in a farm by farm, you know,
right. They
have the information. How do we get them to share it in a way that makes sense, is useful and maintains privacy and, you know, business secrets and what have you.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's one of the things we always emphasize is that, you know, no one will ever see your data. Your neighbor will never see your data, never know who you are. You know, everything is aggregated. Everything is anonymized when we present data back to our farm members for decision making. So, first of all, anonymity is key. Farmers want to know that their data is not going to be used or shared, you know, with other people. And then secondly, I would say, you know, your question about technology and how do we get that data. I mean, that's, you know, you're exactly right. It's like cloud, you know, cloud availability, cloud computing, all these things are basically making it easier to get that data directly from the field into a computer, into an application that can then be analyzed. And it's a slow process. I won't tell you that every farmer is doing it today. You know, the more advanced ones are, but, you know, as technology gets readily adopted, we'll see more of this upscale, if you will, of data and instantaneous results back.
Mm. Kevin McNew, Chief Economist at Farmers Business Network. We'll put a link up to your website on our listen.sdpb.org website online after the program today. Kevin, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate your insight and your time.
Absolutely. Thank you, Laura. Appreciate the time.